I'm a reasonable guy, but I've just experienced some very unreasonable things.
Let's go ahead and get started. Or, you know, I mean, we don't have to dive right into the movie. You know how we do.
I mean, hey, I'm down for it. We're here to talk about the movie.
We are here to talk about the movie. Yeah, so welcome to Very Unreasonable Things. I'm Billy Bone. Joining me is Daniel Sanders.
It is. It's me. I'm Daniel. Hi, everybody.
You don't sound very excited, Daniel.
It was a confusing buildup. You know, you're like, hey, I'm going to start recording. And then at some point you like started recording when usually you're like, all right, it's now happening. And all of a sudden you're welcoming everyone to the episode. Get better at it.
My bad. Sorry.
That's what Josh would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh has always got something to say. So it's been a minute since we've had a chance to record.
Yeah, it's been months.
Yeah, we're beginning to wonder if he was still a part of this.
Me too.
But we are back, and we're finally going to get to continue our Vincent Price block of movies. And
yeah, it's funny. Whenever Courtney came in and I was watching it, she had noticed it was Vincent Price, and she was like, you know, it's funny that you guys do the old movies. And I was telling her, I was like, yeah, it's funny because it feels like we do like a history. Like a horror movie history, or we have at least, and we've done several older classics, you know?
Yep.
Which I don't know if this one was one of the big Vincent Price classics?
I don't know that much about Vincent Price. So like when you said like, hey, let's do Vincent Price, literally all these movies are new to me.
Yeah.
I
just knew that he was like a legend from back in that day.
I know that this movie is an adaptation of I Am Legend by Robert Matheson. And obviously there's a couple of cinematic adaptations of, sorry, I was reading this comment. You guys are a mix of horror movie historians and get off my lawn guys.
Nope.
But yeah, there's multiple cinematic adaptations of I Am Legend. Obviously, the one with Will Smith called I Am Legend, but then there was one with Charlton Heston called The Omega Man. And there's this one with Vincent Price, The Last Man on Earth.
They did the other one that was Legend that was like Tom Hardy, and he was like had a twin or something, but I wasn't interested enough to like for the when the zombies finally showed up or the vampires because like they just felt like they never were coming. So I just turned it off like an hour and 35 minutes into it.
I didn't know that Tom already had one.
Okay. I'm joking. I'm talking about, there was like a movie with him that was called Legend. I think I might've fucked that all up anyway.
Oh,
but, anyway,
I thought you knew. No, I thought there was another adaptation I didn't know about. I'm like, whoa, Daniel's hitting me with some info.
Nope. Daniel's talking bullshit. Like
just
normal.
Making shit up.
Yeah, make it off the top of my fucking head, man.
So your question was like, was it one of the, let's see, let me look at the release. Yeah, so it says here that although the film was not considered a success upon its release, it later gained more favorable reputation as a classic of the genre. So, yeah, it's one of those movies, kind of like The Thing, where when it first came out, it was just kind of ignored, but over time it built up a following.
Yeah.
And this is, like I said, this is our second Vincent Price movie. Our first one was The House of Usher, which you picked.
Yeah, I did pick that.
And I feel like I was kind of hard on that movie. I'm not changing my score. I'm just acknowledging it. I felt like I was kind of hard on it, and it was kind of boring to me.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that like, whereas we are enjoying these older movies, you know, that are generations before our time, they still have to have a little bit of a pace. Even whenever we are, like, it's kind of funny how it's real fast clips. Mm-hmm. At least them motherfuckers are stringing along, and it's like got our fucking TikTok brained asses fucking keeping up with the movie, you know? If it's any of that Shakespearean shit, you know, and that's a lot of dialogue, you know, it'll start losing you. You'll start falling asleep.
Well, dialogue doesn't bother me. It was just that they kept saying the same thing over and over. It felt like.
That's the dialogue.
Fuck you. So.
It's not the dialogue that bothered me. It's just the things that they said in the movie bothered me.
They repeated the same stuff over and over. Fuck off.
Nah, I get what you mean.
So this movie came out May 6, 1964, 86 minutes long, directed by Sidney Salkow and Ubaldo Rigona. Like we said, based on I Am Legend by Richard Matheson. This movie stars Vincent Price, Franca Battaglia, Emma Donnelly, and Giacomo Rossi Stewart. Are you familiar with any of those people?
I'm still trying to figure out if you said Franca Battaglia right. I didn't hear anything after that.
Probably not.
No, I don't know who the hell any of those people are.
All right. Me neither. Yep, so I'm looking at some information about it here, though. Because the languages for the movie are English and Italian. That's what it says. So the movie itself was filmed in Rome. So that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. It's funny because I was looking at the poster to this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you look at the poster at all?
No.
It's hilarious because it's like, you know, creepy face side profile of Vincent Price or whatever, and like a silhouette of a ghoulish woman over a woman that's like passed out. But it's hilarious because it says, do you dare imagine what it would be like to be the last man on earth or the last woman? The last man on earth. It's just funny because it's very inclusive. But in its own right, it's saying that there's only one more person left on earth. But it was just really funny how, and it's funny because I'm not talking about like nowadays how you have to appeal to everybody.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about like wanting to draw in women too. It's like, hey, this isn't just like a scary movie for the guys, you know, women, you come too. We're including you in this, but it's just one guy left on the earth, you know? And it's funny because I feel like there was some confusion. Because the rest of it, what was it? Alive among the lifeless, alone among the crawling creatures of evil that make the night hideous with their inhumane cravings. I'm sure we'll talk more on that.
I thought you had something else to say. You just kind of left it there.
Nah, I do have more to say, but it's just really funny because... You know, you go in and you see them walking around, you know?
Yeah.
And they look very different from what they are supposed to be, but we'll get there.
Had you ever read the novel?
No, man.
Oh, read? I'm sorry. I didn't know that reading was such a dirty word to you.
Oh, yeah, man. No. Reading's for stupid people. But I honestly, no, I don't read barely shit. I read as little as possible. I'm sure maybe one day, you know, I'll be like, you know what? Might want to read some books and I might get into a whole reading obsession, but that is not this day.
Well, I have read I Am Legend and I really enjoyed it. So it was a really good book. And it's one of those ones where I enjoyed it enough to where I don't feel the need necessarily to watch movies based on it. The only one I'd seen, the only movie I'd seen based on the novel was the Charlton Heston, The Omega Man.
Yeah.
And even that's not just like the book. I feel like this movie was, from what I remember the book, because it's been a while since I read it, but I feel like this movie itself was probably a more faithful adaptation. You watched the Will Smith movie, didn't you?
Yeah, I was about to ask, did you read the book after watching that movie?
So I never watched that movie.
You've never seen it?
Not the Will Smith version.
Oh, really? I was good. I liked it.
He lives.
I don't know how you feel about Will Smith or whatever, but I liked it. The zombies were scary. Because they're the fast zombies?
Yeah. Well, they're supposed to be vampires.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, that's the thing. They're vampires. All right, see, there it is. All right, let's... Whatever. But the fucking vampires, they're scary because they're fast.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the fast shit is what's really scary because you can't fuck around. Like, Walking Dead zombies, you know, you just bash their heads in and keep going. Like, the zombies weren't even the threat towards season 6, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you do kind of wonder, like, how people get caught by those zombies when they move so damn slow.
Yeah.
It's like I understand, oh no,
caught by surprise, but they're not fucking silent.
Yeah.
They're stumbling people. People who are walking regularly, you can hear them. People who are dragging a fucking leg through fucking dry leaves, come on, man. You can hear that.
Yeah, no shit. That was one of the things that, I guess about this movie, I kind of liked the way they did it, where they differentiated between the two vampires. Like in this movie, you have the, almost zombie-like vampires that aren't that smart. They do the same routine every night when they're like, Morgan, let us in, Morgan, let us in. And then the ones you meet at the end of the movie, which, you know, we'll get to, but who are capable of, you know, regular speech and, you know, motor skills. They're fucking driving vehicles and stuff, and they're formulating plans.
Yeah.
But the movie...
They got their sense back.
Yeah. The movie starts off, and it starts off with just a shot, or like these shots of the world, like where nothing's going on. Like, there's no people. You don't see any people. You just see, like, empty roads, empty places. Then eventually you start seeing, like, bodies on the ground.
Yeah, something has happened.
Yeah. And then we're introduced into our main character, who, in the books, his name was Robert Neville. Here, it's Robert Morgan. I have no idea why they made that change. Maybe they thought that Robert Morgan was a more cinematic name.
Probably so.
But yeah,
they do that a pretty good bit.
Yeah. We find out, though, that our character is seemingly the last man alive. And he does a lot of, in the movie, you hear a lot of inner, like, monologue from him. Because there's nobody for him to talk to.
Yeah.
And there has to be some exposition. So how do you have that exposition? So in this case, it's with inner monologue.
Yeah.
And you find out that he has a routine. You know, he gets up, you know, he checks his garlic, he checks his mirrors, makes note of, like, what supplies he's got to, you know, replenish. And you see him just going through these mundane, like, everyday tasks. And then he gets to the part where he's disposing the bodies. And it turns out that there's this big pit that apparently is just perpetually on fire.
Oh, yeah. He's keeping that thing fueled, buddy.
Yeah. But he's driving a station wagon or Hertz or station wagon. I think it might be both, or it might just be one. He switches cars at one point. But yeah, he's...
I think it's a Ranchero.
A Ranchero? Fuck you. Okay. Oh, man. Yeah, so he's going about his daily business, and he's disposing of these bodies. Now, they're not doing like traditional vampires. Like, it's acknowledged that they only come out at night, but these vampires aren't burning up in the daylight like we're used to with horror movies.
And they're just very weak.
Yeah. And maybe it's a limitation of the special effects. Maybe that's not something they could show. So maybe their way of showing that the vampires can't survive in the sun is just to have them laying dead on the ground. So so Morgan can come and pick him up, load him into his vehicle, and take him to the tire fire.
Yeah, man. He picked up that one lady. He snatched that girl up. She looked like a fucking dummy at first.
That's what I thought.
Until I realized that she was a fucking person. Like, he snatched that actress up, like, hard. It was funny.
Yeah, I had the same thought, dude. I'm sitting there watching the movie, and I'm like, and then he just picks him up, and I'm like, oh, these must be mannequins. I'm like, but those are some really lifelike-looking mannequins. Like, this is... Yeah. And then I was like, no, this got to be real people.
Yep. You can see because he struggled a little bit more with the dude.
Yeah. But yeah.
One of the things that I thought was really funny whenever you had said something about it, whenever he was going through like his morning routine, it was just so funny to me because it was like, oh, the coffee pot is empty. That can only mean I need to make more coffee.
Yeah.
He didn't say that, but it was like everything that he did say that was there, because he was like, oh, this, the garlic wasn't as potent anymore.
Yeah, it lost its pungency.
Yeah, and then he had, what was the next thing? It was the very next thing. And he was like, then that means I need to go get, or no, his gas. He was running out of gas in the car.
Yeah.
And he needed to go. He's like, almost out of gas. That can only mean I need to go get more gas. And it was just, I mean, but hey, he's by himself for 3 years. So,
yeah,
you know. I guess I'd talk to myself too, but I just kind of chuckled at that, you know? But.
I don't know how hard it is to get these sets to be empty. Like, cause it's filmed in Rome, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how hard it is to like make Rome look like it doesn't have anybody in it, but they did a good job. Like, they did a good job with the sets of making it look like there was nobody left. And you just got Robert Morgan driving around in a fucking station wagon.
Hauling fucking ass, dude. Mm-hmm. So he put those bodies in the back of that goddamn thing with the fucking, the tailgate open.
Yeah.
Or no, was it his supplies? I think I might be jumping ahead. He got his fucking supplies.
He throws his garlic back
there. Yeah. And then hauls fucking ass. Like, he is getting it down that goddamn road.
I want to know, like, what kind of garlic he got after 3 years. It's still fucking fresh.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, you could see that he had put some, like, in a freezer to keep it, but it ain't going to keep for no 3 fucking years.
And then he's got that, he's got slabs of meat hanging up in there.
Yeah. It's just funny, man. It's so wild, because that's what I was telling Courtney. It's like, and this might be deep, whatever, but, like, if everybody's fucking gone, what the fuck? Like, you are the last person on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I mean, I'm not trying to get whatever, but I feel like, all right, I did my best. Everyone did their best. It's over. Why the fuck am I fighting all these zombies? Oh, my bad. Vampires. Anyway.
See,
like I said, I was talking to Courtney about that, and I was like, you know, the religious aspect comes in there where someone can't take their life or allow it to be taken, so they're stuck.
Well, you know, my thoughts was how's the power staying on to this fucking freezer?
Yeah, I know, right?
Just like you said,
going to the station and filling it with, like, you know, filling the coal up in the fucking generators.
I don't know. But we find
it wouldn't be a generator, it'd be like a furnace, but you get what I mean.
He's 3 years in at this point. And we're finding that, like, you expect after 3 years that he should have his routine down, which he does to an extent.
Yeah.
But he's still letting sundown catch him.
Yeah, that's exactly.
He does that, like, shit twice.
Yeah. It's like, wait, what? Just hanging out in the turn. Oh, it's completely dark and they've come out.
Yeah.
So not only did he let the sun get down, there was enough time for them to fucking mosey themselves from wherever they're fucking hiding, which is apparently in the next fucking state. Because he's like knocking out huge chunks of this fucking neighborhood, you know? And I guess it's a big place. I don't know.
Yeah, we see he has it's a map, right? Where he's X-ing off like buildings he's cleared.
Yeah.
And he's just going through it like block by block. And he's done some work, but I guess here would be my other question. just out of curiosity too, because this is something I always think about with like vampire movies, especially vampire, like in a movie where like this, there's nobody left. What are the vampires doing for food?
Yeah, no. It's like once it gets to a certain point, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And you would think other animals maybe, but are all the animals gone too? Because he has a hell of a reaction when he sees that dog. He says, you're alive. Like, so apparently he ain't seen no fucking life at all.
Yeah.
Since this has happened.
Yeah. Always. And like with the dumb vampires, I could see it. I could see them like eating all the food, so to speak.
Yeah.
But the smart ones that you're introduced to later on, like, surely they've got to be like, you know, we've got to, well, no, they're not. Never mind. Because they go straight to trying to take Neville out, or not Neville, Morgan out.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I'm kind of curious about that, which I know has nothing to do with the story, but it's just one of those thoughts that crossed my mind. Like, you know, what would happen if the world was overran by vampires and then they ate all the people? What happens then?
Yep, they would just, I don't know. I would think just kind of like rip, shrivel up.
You have to dive under.
Not die. Right? But, hell, can they die? They're already dead. It ain't the sun destroying them. It's just them starving.
Hmm.
Oh, they can shrivel up to the like to look like a mummy, and you can come by 1,000 years later and drop some blood in their mouth. They might come back. You know how vampires is crazy shit. You don't know what the fuck, you know? I'm just saying. You gotta watch them vampers.
What movie was it where they did something like that, where the vampire was old and decrepit and then they put like some blood on its mouth?
I mean, was that Dracula? Like the Gary Oldman?
No, he was, no.
Because I haven't seen that in a long time, but I know I've seen it before where the motherfucker was complete. Was it probably Blade? I bet it was fucking Blade 2 or something random. Watch it be fucking Blade 2.
I mean, it could be. I don't know.
I think it's going to end up being a Blade. I don't know about 2. It's been a long, I've seen those movies like once, and that was a long time ago. So yeah. I don't remember, but watch it be like Blade 2 or like the climax for Blade or something, you know? Oh, I got to find out now because it'd be pretty funny.
So Neville, not, I keep saying Neville because I keep thinking about the fucking book, but oh my God, I'm such an amateur. I'm sorry, Daniel.
And don't apologize to me. Every time you say Neville, I get derailed and I start thinking about Harry Potter. So we're both amateurs.
But yeah, like his first day that we see him out there, he, what is it that he does that gets him where he only has like an hour of sunlight left? I can't remember exactly.
Fuck, I don't even remember.
So I know what it is the second time. So yeah, he has that first time where he has to get home and you see he has to go through his thing. He has to lock his car up in the garage, board up his house, replace the garlic and everything. And then the vampires come and they're you know, trying to smash his windows and shit. And they're just doing the same thing over and over every day. That's got to be, but imagine if you're the last person on Earth and you were being, you know, stalked by vampires and they're just like right outside your home and all that's separating you from them is some boarded up windows and some doors. And you're just praying that these motherfuckers never figure out or never break through, you know, anything so you can stay alive. And he has to do his sleeping at night when these fuckers are out making all this noise.
Yeah.
So it's got to
work in the day.
Yeah. It's got to be just like if something like that was really happened, that had to be like super intense, man. Like, I don't know that I could fucking sleep in a situation like that.
It'd be like sleeping with your infant in the room beside you.
Yeah.
On acid. You know what I mean? Where like you really aren't asleep. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because you're checking in every noise. You're making sure you're good. And then you're like half sleeping. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, which I mean, for anybody that, you know, don't have kids, you know, you're sleeping with a fucking spring in your, what do they say that shit? Spring in your back or spring in your side or some fucking shit.
I have no idea. I've never heard that.
I'm probably fucking the whole saying up, but it's pretty much like if anything happens, you're jumping out of bed and on top of shit.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And then his, obviously.
But I'm sorry. I remember the answer to the question you asked, because if you remember, he went and he got his supplies mm-hmm. and he did all that first.
Yeah.
And then he started hunting. He started clearing areas and looking for their lair and all that shit. That's where he came across a couple bodies, dumped those into the pit, and did all that. And I think that that's where he just kind of lost track of time there. And that's what got him. And then he's like, I better be getting back.
Yeah.
And then his ass kind of got caught a little bit. Like you said, how the fuck do you, you got to know that you fucking need to give yourself an hour and a half to get everything done at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So you can be back inside, you know? But anyway, my
and
bad.
You can see, and I like what the movie does. They do it in a way to where you can see that, like, the isolation and, like, just the time being the last person is starting to get to him.
Yeah.
You know, because he pours or he tries to open a bottle of wine or whiskey or something, and he's struggling with the fucking bottle. He can't get it open.
Yeah.
And he finally just gives up and throws the glass and the bottle off to the side.
Yeah, it's so funny how dramatic this shit is, too. Because he's like, fuck it. Like, he gave it 3 seconds. And it's he's just done. But like you said, it is, you know, showing that the shit's getting to him and
mm-hmm.
and everything. But after 3 years, man, like, I don't know. It's crazy. The will to stay after it, after 3 years, by yourself.
Yeah.
Doing all that searching for cloves of garlic.
Yeah, it's like I said, I thought it was a nice touch. I like the fact that they show that. And then, you know, and I guess, like, I'm going to answer my own question about the sleep, because he passes out, I think, on the couch, right?
Yeah. The
first night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe right there where he was fucking with the bottle.
Yeah, it was. And so the next day he gets up and he ends up going to a church, right?
Yeah.
It ends up.
It was a church.
Ends up falling asleep and wakes up and it's fucking dark.
Yeah, see, that's a rookie fucking mistake. I don't understand how you make that mistake.
It leads me to believe that he's not getting good sleep at night also, if he's falling asleep during the day.
I mean, that is true. Finds a nice quiet spot and accidentally falls asleep. Mm-hmm. I guess it could happen to any of us. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Now, obviously, the movie can't be this for an hour and 20 minutes. I guess it could be. It didn't bother me, like, him going about his daily routine. I liked the shots. I liked the established, like, you know, hey, here's what he's doing.
You're seeing a lot of his world.
Yeah, in a lesser movie, it could... They may not have took the time to establish all that. They may have just jumped right into, like, let's get to what people want to see, the vampires, you know, and let's start having some action and stuff like that. And this movie's not just, like, action-packed, but it has things happening that are relevant to the plot and move the story forward. But once again, there's only so much you can show him doing his everyday mundane routine in an hour and 25 minutes. So we get a flashback and it actually cuts back to before the, or maybe not before, but during the vampire plague happening. Cause it flashes back and they're watching TV. I think it was TV, right?
Yeah.
Or am I thinking, I just watched the first episode of Fallout. So I may have been thinking about.
Hayden was talking about wanting to watch Fallout whenever, maybe, I think, tomorrow or something, he was wanting to check it out.
Yeah, y'all should check
it out. I never played those games, though. Is it good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
All right, yeah, because, I mean, apparently there's a lot of people talking about it's pretty good and all that, but I never played the game, so obviously it's about nuclear fallout and the aftermath or whatever. I mean, but, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we get the flashback sequence that it goes back and it shows that, you know, he had a wife and daughter.
Yeah.
But the daughter's sick. Like, she's sick with something. They're not sure what it is. The wife is sick. And we see this news report where they're talking about, you know, could the plague be airborne? What happens if Europe's plague is airborne. And Vincent Price just kind of brushes it off. You know, he's just like, ah, oh, well, you know, we have nothing to worry about, blah, 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 which obviously you do. Because he leaves one day and he comes back and he sees a truck leaving. And these trucks have been going around, you know, picking up infected people, people that were dead, and they're taking them to the pit. And this is seemingly how the pit started.
Yeah.
And he comes home one day and his daughter's gone. And he finds out that they had taken her. And he goes and tries to stop him from throwing her body in the pit. But to no avail.
Yeah. But and I have to back up a little bit. We got to talk about this daughter a little bit. You brought her up.
Yeah.
All right. But oh my God, man, we're watching this fucking thing. And at first the daughter is sick, like you said, you know, because mm-hmm. the flashback is built to where it's at the very beginning, whenever it's like, oh yeah, like you said, they bring it up and it's like, oh, you know, a couple people have this cold and it's a germ and all of that. Oh my God, I should have wrote down the fucking name that he kept calling it, because it's like they said it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Mucilli or something like that. But anyway, they were pretty proud of this fucking word. But it's a germ. It's giving people sickness. And then his best friend, co-scientist, is talking about how there's been reports of people like dying and then coming back to life.
Yeah.
Right. But it's just funny because, like I said, it slowly goes that way. Well, the daughter is kind of sick, and then she is really sick and she can't fucking see. She's like, Mama, I can't see. Where are mm-hmm. you? I can't see. And he's like, that's one of the symptoms. Anyway, the funny part that I'm getting to is the fucking wife is like, I think that I should keep her from school today. So you mean to tell me that yesterday that she was in fucking school and she's dying today? Which I know it's a plague thing. Yeah. I get it. You know, it's happening quickly, but it's just funny to think about, like, you had to think about, should you keep her out of school? She's fucking blind all of a sudden. Maybe she can skip today.
Shit.
But yeah, anyway. But anyway, so that day he goes to work. When he comes back, the truck's taking his fucking daughter because she had died.
Yeah, and you brought it up too, and I didn't mention it. I didn't even think about it until you said it. But yeah, one of the symptoms of the vampire plague is going blind before, I guess, you die. And she's telling the story about how the daughter, you know, said she couldn't see and she was reaching out for her. And then we end up seeing the same thing with the wife when she succumbs to the illness. She's like, I can't see.
I can't live anymore.
And
instead, Earth's immediate.
Yeah. Instead of taking his wife to the pit to be burned, he decides to bury her.
Yeah.
And this is where he gets confirmation that the dead are indeed coming back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up staking her. And this is how he finds out that, like, running the stake through him will, you know, kill him. And he's got I'm used to, like, square stakes that are whittled down into points. But he's got this, and I don't know what the machine's called, so, you know, sorry.
Probably just like a wood-turning machine.
Works for me. He has this machine.
I mean, I think it might be a wood-turner. I might be wrong on that. I might be dumb as hell, but I think that's what it is.
But he's making these stakes that are, like, perfectly round. They look like cones.
Yeah. They look like fids out on the water. Like if you work on the water and stuff like that with line and stuff like that, you use it to help splice lines. But yeah, they look like little stakes exactly like he made. But it's funny, man, because that's a busy motherfucker, dude. He made he had a lot of stakes going in that house.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the funny things is bringing up the stakes, and because we see him making those, right? And it's really funny because as he's walking through the house doing all of his little things in the beginning,
yeah.
It is funny because he's going and he's doing very little at a time, you know? So he goes and he's checking his garlic. Well, he throws one off, but he don't check anymore, you know? And then he goes to fucking carve some of that fucking steak, but he carves it for 5 seconds and then he moves on to the next thing, you know? Like fucking coffee. He put the coffee grinds in, but he just walked away. And he's pissed when he comes back to it and it's not made.
the steaks he's making too, like the first one you see him make, you get the feeling that like he's making them over the course of time. He's like you said, he does a little bit and then leaves and comes back. He's like, all right, I'm gonna finish working on this steak.
Yeah.
And then later on, he starts off with just like a unaltered piece of wood, and it's kind of squared, and he puts it on there and he starts rotating it, and then he's just like, fuck it, I'm not doing this right now. It doesn't do nothing to it.
Yeah. So he's really got to, he has to get himself in the mood. Sometimes it takes and he makes a couple steaks, but sometimes he just fucks with it a little bit. He's like, not right now.
Yeah.
And it's funny because go ahead.
No, you're good.
I was just going to say, I like the fact how they built this movie. Like, I like how Act Two is the flashback.
Yeah.
Like, because it goes through the whole situation, you know, beginning of it all the way through to, like you said, he stakes his wife. That's pretty much the end. Now she's got to go in the fucking pit. You know what I mean? Yeah. And now he's got to try to figure out how to live life and look for other life and, you know, do that thing. And now we're back to reality. And one thing we haven't brought up is the fact that the main Zampire that's at his door beating on it with a fucking 2x4, because that's their weapons of choice, is like just fucking tree limbs and
Morgan.
Yeah, exactly. And that's his best friend.
Yeah.
He was the one that tried to warn him that this shit was vampires. He's actually the one that gave him the idea for the fucking garlic.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because when we have, during the flashback, we see Neville with other scientists, and the one scientist is like, you know, we need to consider the possibility of vampires, and Morgan's just like, fucking vampires.
That's
a leap. Lost your mind, yeah.
It's like, come on, man. You're reaching, dude. We need some real thoughts here. If you can't fucking think of anything productive, go home.
Can't think of anything productive, go home.
Then the next day he goes to work, and the other lead guy, I guess, is there, and he's like, you ain't gonna find anybody but me. Like, me and you were the only dumb motherfuckers to come do this shit when the world, everyone's fucking dying around us, and they're throwing people in fire pits. But, which, I mean, I'll slow up on them. They are scientists that could possibly find a cure. So, yes, please go to work until everyone's dead, for sure. You know?
Yeah, and then we get this where Morgan theorizes that he's immune to the vampire plague because he got bit a while back by a bat in South America.
Yep.
That so he was thinks
a South American bat.
Yeah, he thinks was carrying like a strain of it, and he got like a diluted version into his blood, which prevented him from catching the disease.
Yeah. He thinks that's what's going on with him.
Which I guess is good enough of explanation as any.
I mean, hey, there ain't nobody to explain it to any damn way.
Or so not South America. He was in Panama. He was, I guess, in Central America.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then you brought it up. Like, we come back from the flashback and we're introduced to a dog.
Yeah. A dirty, hurt dog.
Mm-hmm.
And his fucking face lit up like a fucking 5-year-old with a puppy.
What kind of dog did
it look like to you? And I mean, I would have too. Huh?
What kind of dog did it look like to you?
To me, it looked like a black poodle or some shit.
That's what I thought. And then I was sitting there thinking too, like, I don't know about you, but I know I'd be pretty fucking disappointed if I finally found a dog after all this time and it was a fucking poodle.
I'd be disappointed. Actually, look, I'd be cool. Having a friend would be awesome. But, like, I would be disappointed if, like, you met it and it was, like, just annoying as shit or a complete asshole that just bit you anytime you got close. And it's the only other living thing on the planet, you know? It's like, all right. But it would be crazy, you know, to find a dog in that situation. But like I said, whenever he saw it, he was like, you're living, I must find you. Or whatever the fuck, whenever he starts chasing after the thing. So is everything dead? You know? I mean, that don't make any sense. Like, I didn't pay attention for any birds or anything like that, but he acted like even dogs are dead. So that's confusing.
Well, I got to assume, like you had said earlier, like, if they've ran out of humans, they got to be feeding on something.
I mean, and that might be the thing. And that might be what happened. That motherfucking dog might have got attacked by a vampire.
Yeah.
Because he checked his blood and saw something and smiled. I mean, I don't remember him clarifying on what the fuck he talked about like why he did that. I think that maybe I figured he saw a clue into how he could cure this thing.
No, he
like cure the whole deal.
He found out the dog was injured, and then he found out that the dog was infected.
Yeah.
And he had to put
he
the dog
like
in
a
the
smile.
He had to put the dog in the pit. That could have been insanity though.
I mean, maybe so. And I did miss him putting the dog in the pit. I wondered what happened. I didn't know if he just got rid of it or what.
No, the dog
might have had to go take a piss or something.
Nope, he had the, he didn't throw it in the pit. He said he buried it. I'm sorry.
Oh.
But,
did
yeah.
Did stake the fucking shit out of it first? They didn't show that part. That's in the deleted scenes.
So, yeah, he buries the dog, and when he buries the dog, he sees a woman.
Yeah.
And this is the second living creature he's seen. First, he saw the dog, which yeah. ran away from him. Then he sees the woman, which runs away from him.
Yeah.
And we find out the woman's name is Ruth. Yeah, and she, like I said, she runs from him at first, but he finally, you know, catches her. He chases her.
Yeah.
Chases her down, catches her, and brings him back to his house. And when he's there, he starts to become, I guess, suspicious of her. And he holds the garlic up to her. And she yeah. recoils from it.
Yeah, he wanted to test her.
And then, you know, she's like, I have a weak stomach, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I'm reacting. You're shoving a bunch of garlic in my face and it's pungent.
Yeah. She's trying to play it cool. But he's reading through her bullshit.
Mm-hmm. And then he attempts to inject her with a combination of blood and vaccine that'll hold the disease at bay. And she draws a gun on him.
Yeah, he catches her. Oh my God. Whenever he catches her about to fucking shoot that shit up, like she covers up. I thought it was fucking heroin or opium or some shit. Whenever I first saw it, I didn't think it was a serum.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like she was ashamed. And I was like, what the fuck? But yeah, it was just her reaction was funny. Well, then she explained to him and then he attempts to give it to her and she pulls a gun on him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he finally finds out that she's infected, but she's different than the other infected. And yeah. She's not a mindless, and I don't want to say mindless because they're not completely mindless because they're talking, but
yeah.
she's not this basic version of the vampire, like the ones that just do the same thing over and over, you know, where they beat on the windows or whatever. And they don't seem
yeah,
to be
like
capable.
I said before,
of,
like they got their wits about them.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. They're not, they're capable of like complex thoughts, whereas the ones we've seen at this point are just are capable of simple functions.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she tells him like she's part of a group and she's part of a group of other vampires like her that are infected, but they're keeping it under control. So they're not becoming these mindless creatures. And then she admits to being sent there to spy on them.
Yeah. To look in on them.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, and you know less than we do. Like they're doing better than he is.
Yeah, I thought that was funny too. She's like, I was sent to find out what and you know less than we do.
It's like you don't know jack shit.
And she tells him too that like she was sent there to kind of keep them in place as they come to kill him. Like the group's coming, and she tells him like, hey, the group's coming tonight. They're gonna kill you.
Yeah, exactly. Like good. Good God. Like, why would they fucking send her 5 minutes before? Just go fucking group up and, you know, take him out. So it's weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, see if he's got any steak bazookas in there because we don't want to walk in on that. Not again.
And when she's telling Morgan about this, you know, we find out that he's actually killed some of these living vampires because he didn't know any different. You know, he's been going about his business since the world ended, you know, just doing his due part, killing vampires and burning the bodies, and his normal daily routine. And it never occurred to him that, you know, some of these vampires he was killing was like Ruth. Because he had no reason to believe that. He had no reason to know that until he met her.
Yeah.
And because, you know, he's, his first reaction when she tells him about what's going on is, oh, they want to recruit me. And she's like, no, they want to kill you.
Yeah.
Because he's become like
they don't want shit to do with you.
Yeah, he's become like a boogeyman of sorts to these people. You know, like, here's, like, he is to them what those basic vampires were to him. And it's a threat to, you know, his survival, and he's a threat to their survival.
Yeah.
And so,
it's funny, man, because I didn't make that connection earlier whenever I saw the dog run from him and then she ran from him as if they fucking, well, her, you know, she knew about him and everything, but the dog would be the one that would be more along lines of sensing that the virus sensing that it doesn't want to be around this person.
Yeah. And she tells Morgan of the plan, like these half vampires or whatever you want to call them plan on rebuilding society. They have this vaccine that keeps the infection at bay that they have to take every now and then.
Yeah.
But their plan is essentially, you know, is kind of what Neville's or not Neville, but Morgan's doing. They want to eliminate the basic versions of the vampires and rebuild society with these hybrids.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I said, she tells him, like, you have no place in this future. Like, they're going to kill you. You need to run. You need to get away from here. Do you have somewhere you can go? And he refuses.
Nope. I mean, hell, he don't have nowhere to go. This is his only place. He's worked his ass off to get this thing fortified. Did you see how many 2x4s he had? I think he had 4 on again.
I was about to say,
He's just got fucking one bar. There is some shit on the windows, but it seems like it's fucking cardboard.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's funny because we were talking about how it happened, but we kind of skipped over it about they fucked this dude's station wagon up bad.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did.
And it's like, does this not happen every night? Because it was in perfect condition.
No, he has a garage. Remember?
Oh, and he left it out.
Yeah, no. That's so right. What happened was with his car, when it got smashed, it was that day that he fell asleep in a church.
Yeah.
And like he had to get out of that fucking station wagon and like make his way back into his home. He had people in his fucking garage. He was getting mobbed as soon as he got out of the car. And yeah, they smashed his car up after that. They were just we're going to smash your shit. And he goes car shopping and he's like, yeah, the convertible would be nice, but I can't think of comfort anymore. I have to think of like functionability. Excuse me. So the station wagon is what I'm taking.
Yep. Exactly. It's funny because that would be a trip, right? Especially back in the 60s. You know, they might in the showroom have left the keys in the fucking cars.
Yeah.
You know, I doubt they did. I'm sure they had realized they need to hang those keys up behind the counter by then. But in case they didn't, it is nice as you're just like, I like this one. Jump in and it go. But you can't nitpick this shit because just like with The Walking Dead, you know, whenever it comes to an apocalyptic situation, I'm not making the zombie joke. I'm just saying,
You
know, gas don't fucking last that long. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to, gas doesn't last forever. You know, that shit evaporates. That shit, you know, just, I don't know what, I'm not a fucking scientist, but it does lose its potency. You probably could still use the shit for fire, but I don't know if you could run engines on it 5 years later, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. That is outside of my wheelhouse.
Well,
you'd probably know more than I do, sir.
I'm actually curious. So I'm going to.
So you're going to look it up, see how long gas lasts? Yeah,
start talking about amazing things.
Amazing things. Wow. Yeah, I don't have anything amazing.
Holy fucking shit. Guess how long gasoline's shelf life is.
180 days.
Are you a fucking asshole? Did you look it up?
No, I didn't.
It's literally 3 to 6. Well, it's not 180 days, but 3 to 6 months. So very good guess. God damn, that's hilarious.
So the Walking Dead's been lying to us.
Oh, for a fucking while.
We thought we were going to have...
The gas was bad before Rick even fucking woke up.
From his coma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now we know we're fucked. If an apocalypse happens and we have no way of generating new gas, we'll only be able to drive for about 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, I know, right? Diesel, though. Diesel lasts longer. I didn't look in to see how long, so don't ask me, but... but, yeah. But, hold on. All right, speaking of gas, this wasn't a segue, but it just so happened to do it. Whenever he was refilling that fucking generator mm-hmm. in the very beginning, I know I'm stuck on the chores, but...
No, you're good.
My God, this dude is pouring that shit like a wild man. That shit is splashing everywhere. And when he pulls it away, there's so much fucking gas dripping down that goddamn can. Like, I can't help but look at it as a hazard. Another fucking hazard is he goes and he gets an entire pitcher of tea and his glass of tea, right?
Yeah.
And he sets an entire pitcher of fucking tea on top of his only goddamn high-powered radio. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He's like, he's just going to do his thing, sits down. Hey, this is WWOZ or whatever the fuck it is. Sets it on top. It was crazy to me because I know that back in the day, appliances were fucking huge and indestructible. But water still is electricity's fucking, or electronics' worst enemy. I guess I ain't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you think someone would be extra careful in the apocalypse as well?
To protect your only working instruments?
Ain't nobody even listening to it, bro, because you're the only fucking person alive.
I know, but he keeps trying.
Oh, I know, right? And it's funny because whenever he sees her, he's like, there's got to be other people out there. So he starts calling again, like, motherfuckers, I know you're out there. Somebody just showed up. Why won't anybody? This is an international channel, for God's sakes.
Right. It makes me wonder, though, like if the other guys or the other vampires are sitting by a radio listening to him and just like, listen to this fucker. He's on here like, every day.
Hey. Yeah. He's like, hey, he's back on. Come listen to it.
Yeah.
You could listen to the desperation in his fucking voice.
No shit. So while Ruth is asleep, Morgan does a blood transfusion. And this is the second movie I've watched in about 3 days, horror movie that had blood transfusions in it. Coincidentally, both of them dealt with vampires.
What the fuck is,
The other one was The Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Oh, okay.
They do blood transfusions in that movie too, to try to hold off the infection.
Which one? The new one that just came out?
Yeah. The new one.
Or last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So he does a blood transfusion. He gives her some of his blood, and then she's immediately cured. And so now he's like, well, you know, I can cure everybody. We can cure your group. And then they show up. And they come riding in fucking vehicles and stuff, like ready to fucking take Morgan out.
Oh, yeah. They're not even saying a fucking word. They're just coming with fucking spears.
Yep. So they kill the vampires that are out there. And Morgan takes his opportunity. He flees finally. Like, he decides to run. And they spot him and they chase him.
Yeah.
And he's got these. And the one thing he done was he had got to an armory. And I'm trying to remember. It was at the police station armory. And instead of picking up guns, he just picks up fucking grenades.
Yeah.
And it turns out when he throws them down, I'm reading here, they're saying gas grenades now or tear gas. I thought he just picked up smoke bombs.
It looks like he just picked up smoke bombs and he was like, I'm going to trick these fuckers.
Yeah.
I literally thought that's what the fuck it was too.
And then I'm sitting there thinking too, like every time he threw one down, I'm like, these things aren't working like you intended because all they're doing is letting everybody know where you went. Because now these big clouds of smoke pop up.
They're just following this trail of smoke bomb.
Right? Because he's throwing these bitches pretty liberally. He's tossing them everywhere. Yeah, and then they...
I was about to say, continue and tell us how much that helps him.
You don't know shit. Yeah, so after he leaves the trail of breadcrumbs to follow him, he gets shot.
Yeah.
He retreats to the church. You know, and the last time he was at a church, he fucking slept until dark.
Yeah.
And almost got there. So he gets He gets to the church and they fucking throw a spear at him.
Yeah, they are not fucking around, dude.
No. They fucking spear him. And in his final moments, he calls them freaks. And then
had to get that freak dig in there.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, I'm the last man on earth, blah, 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 whatever. And he just has like his little dying monologue before he completely succumbs to his wounds.
Yeah.
And then
they feared me. They were scared of me.
Yeah, he says it like four times. They feared me. They feared me. And then he's dead.
Well.
Which is... He dies in the book. And that was one thing that I liked about this movie was, you know, he dies at the end. Because that's what happened. And it's, you know, he found a cure. He didn't find a cure in the book, but he found a cure here. And he could have saved him. But these hybrids are so terrified of him that they can't even think about the possibility of, like, you know, he can cure us and we can rebuild society together. To the fact that, like, no, this dude's been killing our people and he hasn't shown like any remorse or he hasn't tried to communicate with us or anything. He's just been killing us in our sleep and burning our bodies. So now at this point, like, these guys are so blinded by their hatred of him that they can't even fathom the possibility of the cure. And they're just like, you know, we got to take him out. We got to kill him. And that's what they do.
Now, and another way to look at it, the way that I kind of look at it is like any living thing, its number one end goal is to stay alive as much as possible. Survival, right?
Yeah.
So I would say that that would even be when it comes to germs, right? Germs and bacteria and viruses and all of that shit.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would play another part. That's why they feared him, because his blood could cure it and it would be gone. You know what I mean? So I feel like that might be part of what drove him a little mad to kill his fucking ass and, you know, kill first, ask questions later. You know, they're just like, all right, look, we haven't had any more women show up. We're not adding another fucking guy. We're killing this
one. Going to mess up the ratio.
It's like, look, it's already hard enough to get a night alone with the chick, you know?
Whoa, crushing them cokes, huh?
Man, I'm telling you, I'm going to have to go to a meeting.
So, we're at the end of the movie, and the movie itself wasn't just too terribly long. It was like, what, an hour and 20 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, 86 it was actually
minutes, I think.
Pretty good for the older movies, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, an hour and a half's pretty decent.
And I felt like there's sometimes where you'll watch a movie and it'll be like 2 hours long, and you're just kind of like, man, they left stuff out. Yeah. Or you watch a movie and it's like 2 hours long and you're like, oh my God, they're just dragging this shit out. And you find yourself, you know, clock watching. This one, I felt like had a pretty tight run. Like watching it, I felt like.
And by the time you were ready for it to be over, it was over.
Exactly. And I think the flashback in the middle of the movie helped that. If it had been just like an hour and 20 minutes of him doing the same thing over and over, and then, you could kind of be like, and instead of going the route where they fill that time with him just killing more vampires, which you would see in other movies, they took the time to like set the stage and show like what happened and how we got to this point.
Yeah. And it's funny.
Go ahead.
Oh, continue.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was only going to say, going off of what you're saying, like, the way that they did it was so much better than if they would have done it differently, right?
Yeah.
Because if they would have put the flashback at the beginning and they would have just ran it through, you know, like, here's what happened. Hey, oh shit, what? Today's a great day. We're scientisting. Oh, wait, there's a germ. Oh, fuck. You know, 20 minutes later, the world is ending. My fucking family's dying to get thrown to a pit of fire. And now we have an hour of survival, and that shit, I think that you would have gotten, you know, bored within 30 minutes of that second sound, but breaking it up, I feel like was perfect.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there too. I think you're 100% correct with what you're saying. You know, show the situation that we're in first and then go back and show how we got there so we can understand why Robert Morgan is the way he is, you know, and why he's doing the things he does. The movie itself, though, and I'm about to segue into my rating for it, but the movie itself, like I said, I thought was well made. I enjoyed it. I had fun with it, and you know, it's, when did I say this movie came out?
It was 64 or some shit like that?
63? Yeah, 64. That's it. So it's still, it's at that point where we haven't gone into color movies just yet. So it's still black and white, which I like.
Yeah.
You know, black and white movies do not bother me. So there was something I was watching and I was kind of like, I wish it would have stayed in black and white.
Wizard of Oz.
Nah, it wasn't the Wizard of Oz, but I think they referenced the Wizard of Oz.
It's like they really ruined this movie within the first 5 minutes.
Within the first 5 minutes. Hold on. I could possibly tell you because I've been keeping track of what I watch. Oh, yeah. Night of the Creeps. Have you seen Night of the Creeps?
Uh-uh. It goes from black and white to color?
Mm-hmm.
When shit starts getting creepy?
Well, because it shows a flashback scene that happened in like the 50s. And so they do that part in black and white. And then it transitions to color when it goes to present day in the 80s.
Yeah. I actually liked that a lot.
Yeah, it was a fun movie. Did you watch, and before we get into the ratings, I'm going to bring this up because I'm talking about shit that's in black and white. Did you watch Werewolf by Night?
No.
What? You watch more Marvel stuff than anybody I know.
No, yeah, no, that is funny because I didn't watch that. There's a couple things that I haven't watched. I mean, it's funny because like the superhero fatigue thing is real. And yeah. I'm a fucking fanboy. So like, well, okay, hold on. I'm not a fanboy to the sense where like I'm not going to Comic Cons and all that. But I do like it. It took me longer to get tired of it than others.
Yeah.
You know, but even me, it's like, all right, you better really give me some good shit that looks good before, you know, or you better give me some hella fan service to get me roped back in, you know?
Yeah. I would say if you've never watched Werewolf by Night, you should check it out.
Yeah. What's it about? Vampires?
So there's this society of hunters that hunt monsters, and the leader of the society passes away. And so to determine the next leader, they're going on a special hunt and they have to kill a creature, and whoever kills it becomes the new leader of the group. And it turns out that the creature is Man-Thing. And the guy that's the werewolf, him and Man-Thing are actually friends. So he's there to save Man-Thing from these other hunters. He has no interest in being like the leader of the group, but apparently he's a hunter also because he has over 100 confirmed kills. Excuse me. But he does that while he's in his werewolf form. Anyways, it was worth watching.
Like turns into a werewolf and then gets his rifle.
Yeah. It was worth watching though.
Yeah, well, I only assume because I know that whenever you turn into a werewolf, whatever thing that you're into, you become way better at it. So I know that it happened with basketball and boxing. So I just assumed that like hunting, you know, would be the same thing. You can throw that fucking Bowie knife like a fucking pro. This is all assumptions, of course.
Based on the documentary Teen Wolf, right?
Exactly. I do my research, people.
Yeah. So anyways, my thoughts on the movie, let me get to those. Let me tell you what I thought, Daniel. I enjoyed the movie. Now, I don't know, you know, and it could be because I've read the book that kind of helps that, but I had fun with the movie. I thought it was well-paced. I thought it was, enjoyable. I like that they, like I said, they killed the main character at the end of the movie. Maybe Robert Morgan's death was a little over dramatic with the, they feared me, they feared me, they feared me.
Yeah.
You know, being said over and over. But I, you know, Vincent Price, he's an actor's actor, huh?
Oh yeah.
Like he's
fucking giving it 110% every time. Yeah.
And he did that in House of Usher also. I enjoyed this movie more in House of Usher.
Yeah, I did too.
It was a good time. I gave it 3 stars.
Yeah, it's funny because like I said, whenever I was watching it, I was throwing off on how they did the vampire thing where they are straight up zombies.
Yeah.
You know, they're straight up zombies. And like I was saying, like I actually brought that up to Courtney. I was like, man, I wonder how long it took them to figure that out. Because it feels like they played with that and they were like, you know what? We need to separate this. Zombies are zombies. Vampires are vampires. Because I've never seen that before where, you know, and like you said, they might have been held back from, you know, budget restraints. The, you know, makeup department was lacking. I don't know what the case is. So they just decided to go with that and how they wanted them to act, you know. But there are some other good things, you know, that I did like we talked about with them splitting it up, you know, whenever it went into full blown flashback,
mm-hmm.
We saw a little bit and then they went to another scene. And I thought that we were back in the present for a second. Is he keeping his fucking family in here? Because there was no dreamy fucking anything to transition you in. You just saw that the world, that he wasn't alone anymore. So obviously this is a flashback. So whenever they just switched back to him in a room by himself, there was no transition. So you didn't know. But anyway, that was a little confusing. But once I realized that we were going to see the whole fucking thing play out and then get back to the third act, the end of the movie and shit,
mm-hmm.
I did like that. And I thought that was a nice touch. And I did like it, you know. I did like it better than House of Usher. And it's funny because I don't remember what the fuck I gave House of Usher when it comes to ratings. But on this one right here, I was thinking about a 2.5, like 2.5 stars.
Yeah.
Because it is something I'll revisit, I'm sure, you know, but I'm not going to be jumping to it. You know, we talk about it all the time, you know, like you revisited them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I've talked about revisiting Village of the Damned,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I'm not talking about, you know, jumping right into it and revisiting it, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, about 2.5 stars.
I get you. And with the movies, like, I don't do New Year's resolutions because people make those and then they always fall apart, right?
Yeah.
But I don't want to call it a New Year's resolution, but I guess maybe that's how you could look at it. But I did make a promise to myself to watch more movies this year. I felt like I got to the, and more movies I haven't seen instead of just watching the same movies over and over.
Yeah.
And I felt like the previous year I didn't watch as many movies as I would have liked, especially considering that we're in a fucking movie podcast.
Yeah.
So I've started keeping track of everything I watch now. Like when I watch something I haven't seen before, so I can, you know, achieve that goal. And it has nothing to do with, you know, what we're talking about. I just, you know, kind of want to bring it out there since we're talking about revisiting movies. So yeah, I will revisit a movie from time to time, but this year I'm making a concerted effort to watch more movies I haven't seen. And,
yeah,
I want to say, hold on one. Um, 82 movies so far that I can remember that I've watched this year.
There you go. That's almost a movie a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think that's cool, man. I think that's real cool. Like, committing to being like, you know what, I think I want to watch stuff I haven't seen, you know?
Well, there's movies I haven't seen that, you know, like, even my brothers were giving me shit a couple weeks ago because I'd never seen The Fifth Element.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so we watched it. They're like, you've never seen The Fifth Element? What's wrong with you? I'm just like, never saw The Fifth Element.
Yeah, I was that asshole last time I was home because Courtney's cousin Joe was down.
Yeah.
And we watched fucking Dusk Till Dawn. And afterwards, he had never seen this fucking movie, right? And he wasn't really responding to it or anything at all. And so, like, I made it a point to not say anything about the vampires.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't really saying anything, and he was, like, just watching. And, you know, whenever you're watching a movie, like, a classic with people that mm-hmm. everyone has seen, somebody's usually going to comment, like, oh, my God, I love it. I love this part. You know, or, like, oh, I love it whenever this happens, you know? Or, I've always thought that that was crazy about blah, blah, blah. Anyway. So, whenever this fucking vampire shit shows up, this dude is like, well, this just took a turn. And then it was just funny as hell because seeing someone react like that in a movie that you've seen 20 years ago, you know, it's just funny.
I had a similar situation with Chris and God, who was it that watched that movie? I'm trying to remember. I know it was Chris and somebody else, but we were watching From Dusk Till Dawn and they had never seen it. And I just assumed at this point that everybody knows that about halfway through From Dusk Till Dawn becomes a vampire movie.
Yeah.
And they had never seen it. So when it happened, they were like, holy shit, where'd this come from? And it's just, it's such a cool experience when you can like watch a movie like that with somebody that hasn't seen it and then see their genuine reaction to it, just like changing.
Especially because like that Dusk Till Dawn, we actually talked about this on a couple episodes back and about how it could be two different movies, you know? Mm-hmm. It is two different movies.
Yeah.
But it's really fucking crazy because this movie, right out the gate, because it's these two fucking guys that just robbed a fucking bank and they got hostages and all this crazy shit, right?
Yeah.
So the movie fucking skips first and goes straight to second and then to third and fourth real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But then as it kind of, you're coasting it in fourth gear, you know, once this fucking vampire shit, once they get there and the deal's coming up and now there's all kind of crazy shit going on, you're in fifth gear riding. And then whenever they fucking start with this vampire side of things, it's like they hit the turbo and you're just holding on until the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So it is funny because even for somebody who doesn't like a lot of dialogue in their movies, you know, because you know how Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez are, it might be a little boring to some people. Some people need shit blasting in their face. They don't really want to hear a lot of exposition or whatever. Not exposition, but dialogue. So whenever that shit pops off, they're floored. But it's a good movie.
Yep.
It's a classic.
What's our next Vincent Price movie?
Man, I don't even remember. I think I said it, but I don't remember because I don't write this shit down. But I believe it's House on Haunted Hill.
I think that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that's like his most famous. And I definitely wanted to cover that one. You know?
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. We'll check that one out.
All right.
Discuss it.
Yep. Next time we're back, we'll be doing House on Haunted Hill. And we'll finish up the Vincent Price block.
Yeah.
And I guess it's my turn next.
That's right. Better be thinking of something good.
I'll figure something out. But anyways, that's all I've got. What about you, Daniel?
That's all I got too, bud.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. Be sure to check us out on our socials. I've tried to be more active on them. I tried to actually do posts on the days that I post episodes. So yeah, we're on Instagram at Very Unreasonable Things. We're on Twitch at Very Unreasonable Things. We're on YouTube at State Inspector right now. I've got to get that changed over.
Yeah, I was curious if you had swapped that, because the last I checked, I saw that it was still State Inspector.
Yeah, I haven't yet. We got our Facebook group, Very Unreasonable Things. We have our Twitter account, VUT Podcast. You know, so there's ways
you can find us.
And if you have a suggestion, like if there's some movies you want to see done, let us know. We did get our first request. We talked about this briefly the last time all three of us did an episode together. But we were doing our vampire block with me, you, and Josh, and we covered Lost Boys. And the next movie we plan to cover is Fright Night. Like, that's not a secret, but we had one of our listeners be like, hey, have you thought about covering The Last Voyage of the Demeter? Which is why I went ahead and watched it, so I could watch it and then watch it again to take notes.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want my first viewing to... It just depends on the movie. Sometimes I'll take notes on my first viewing of the movie.
Yeah.
But it can... It leads to a lot of pausing and stopping.
Yeah, exactly. So you can write the thought down and continue.
Yeah.
Yeah, a fucking hour and a half movie takes 3 hours to watch.
Yep. So, yeah, follow us on the socials. You know, if you got something you want us to cover, by all means, let us know. We'd love some feedback. Thank you for listening, and I guess we will see you next time. Until then, you know, goodbye.
Fucker out.